Worship this morning, if you would, grab your Bibles. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 together this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 as we look at God's Word together. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. John Bechtel was born in 1939. And he is the son of two Christian missionaries who served for a total of 51 years in Hong Kong and in China. As a toddler, John escaped with his mother on the last ship departing Hong Kong before the Japanese invasion of World War II. His father was interned by the Japanese in a concentration camp, while John spent the war years with his mother back here in the U.S., At the age of 7, John returned with his mother back to Hong Kong. John spent his time growing up back there in Hong Kong, and he was educated through a high school in the British system there. John moved back to the U.S. after graduating from high school, so he went from U.S. to Hong Kong to the U.S., Hong Kong to the U.S., where he attended college in New York State, and after graduating from college, John was given a trip back to Hong Kong, where he observed millions of people in tight, crowded conditions. John was convicted as he saw these people. He saw the desperate spiritual need of these people, and he was convinced that God was calling him to dedicate his life to serve these people by showing them the love of Christ and by sharing the gospel with them. John headed back to the States again for missionary training and returned as a missionary in 1965. Upon his return, he spent 2 years in the Yale University language program and 2 years working among the youth there in Hong Kong. It was during his time working there with the youth that the Lord really laid it on John's heart to start an orphanage in Hong Kong. John realized that he had previously went to the same school as the governor of Hong Kong. So he decided that he would set up a dinner meal with the governor and ask him for funding for the orphanage. One night, John met the governor for dinner, and he told him of his desire to start this orphanage and asked for land and for funding. Unfortunately, the governor said no. And although he was disappointed, John began looking for other avenues of funding for this orphanage. Yet it seemed as though, unfortunately, every place that he looked, everywhere that he went for funding, the answer continued to be no. One day, John was walking through a certain part of Hong Kong where he saw a school that had previously been built with a for sale sign on the school. John thought that this would be a perfect spot for the orphanage, so he began writing to literally everyone that he knew, asking them if they would help fund this orphanage. Still, he was met with the answer no. No funding had come in, and John wasn't sure what he was going to do. Now, shortly after this happened, an American friend visited John and shared with him his vision, and John shared with his friend the vision of starting this orphanage. Now, John's friend had an idea. What they would do is they would go back to the U.S. and they would schedule a preaching tour. John would share this need for the orphanage there in Hong Kong. He would show pictures of the building. He would share with them everything about this orphanage. And people would provide for the orphanage. And by the time John would come back, all the money would be collected for the orphanage. John prayed about this opportunity that his friend shared with him, and then accepted his friend's offer to go to the States and to preach there. 1 month later, John returned to Hong Kong after his preaching tour, where John received a brown envelope from his friend with a gift inside. Now, we'll find out what's in that gift here in just a few minutes, but as we open up our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 this morning, we find ourselves seeing a similar request. We see the request of a missionary, the Apostle Paul, asking the local church body for a financial gift, much like our friend John was doing. Let's look at the Word of God together in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's begin by reading the first five verses together. The text of Scripture says this, "Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has been stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift that you had promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction." As we open up this text here together, we find ourselves close to two-thirds of the way through Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. Now, previously, if you would look back in the text in chapter number 8, we see Paul encouraging the church to give generously. And what Paul is encouraging these people to give generously towards is something that he mentioned all the way back in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, so in his previous letter. So what we see in chapter 8 are these principles of giving and his encouragement to give generously. Now we focus specifically our time this morning on those principles and as well the heart attitude behind our giving. So through our time this morning, we're going to see three gifts that we as believers receive as we give. The first thing that we're going to see this morning is this. We see the gift of giving brings blessings to others. We see that the gift of giving brings blessings to others. Look there again at verse 1. It says this, "Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints." And as we see that the gift of giving brings blessings to others, we first see what Christians give towards. And Christians give towards the work of God. Christians give towards the work that God is doing. Where do we see that here within the text? Well, first of all, recognize this, that there had been a gap of time that had passed between Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. As Paul originally shared with the people the need in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we find ourselves today after a certain amount of time had passed. Now, during this time in between Paul's first and second letter, something had happened. You see, what Paul was encouraging these people to give towards is this ministry of the saints. Specifically, this ministry of the saints that was mentioned was that Paul was encouraging these believers to give towards believers in Jerusalem who were being persecuted for their faith. And Paul shares with his audience that it was superfluous or exceeding what is sufficient or necessary for him to even talk to them at this point about the ministry of the saints. They already knew what was going on there. He had already shared that with them, and they had began this process of collecting the gift. Now, then there had been this time in between when they started collecting the gift and where they were at now. So Paul's admonition, his encouragement to the believers, is to finish collecting this gift that they had together. So there's this in-between time that we've seen. And this in-between time has happened because as in between these letters and as we see often throughout the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul has to do a lot of correction and fixing what the people had already learned about because there were a multitude of false teachers there within the land that had continued to spread through the church, questioning Paul's authority, questioning who Paul was and the doctrine that he preached. And this left a lot of confusion or cleaning up that Paul and the other church leaders that were truly preaching the doctrine and truth of God's word together, it left a lot of work for them to do. So now we find Paul calling out this repentant church, calling out them and continuing to share with them that they need to finish up this gift that they were going to give towards the work that God was doing in the believers, through the believers in Jerusalem. So what we see here is that Christians give towards the work that God is doing. And in this context that we see here this morning, the local church had the opportunity to give towards the needs of other believers. Now, as we look at their context and we compare it to our own, we can see several things that are similar. As we give of our regular tithes and offerings here at the church, we really see three different opportunities that we have to give. First of all, we see that we have the opportunity to give through the work that God is doing through our local church and internationally through the work that God is doing through our missionaries that we support through our regular tithes and offerings. That's the main opportunity that we have to give here together as a church. Secondly, we see that there are special occasions or opportunities for giving. One of those is one we will take in together next week as we partake together in what we have called Sacrifice Sunday, or what was formerly our year-end thank offering, as we have a special opportunity to give towards the needs of others and the needs within our local body above and beyond our normal gifts. As well, you can also think of times here within the church body as we have given towards emergency needs, needs for other missionaries who are in need as they come to our attention. I think of the example that not too long ago we had when we gave towards the Christensens in Haiti after they had went through that extreme hurricane, and we as a church body were able to take up and give a special opportunity and offering towards these people that God was using. And really, that's what we see going on here within Paul's context. These people are giving towards an immediate need that needed to be taken care of by the church. They were giving towards the needs of others. And as we see that Christians give towards others, what we see as well is how they give. We see that they give towards the needs of others, and we see how Christians give, and we see a few principles that we can take away from this. First of all, we see this, that Christians give enthusiastically. They give enthusiastically. We read verse 1 together. Now let's look at verse 2, where it says this, "For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them." Now, in the previous chapter, in chapter 8, we see Paul using the churches of Macedonia as an example to encourage the Corinthian church that he's sharing with now. Now he's doing the opposite. He's using the church in Corinth to encourage the church there in Macedonia and their readiness to give. Now, I want you to notice a few things there. First of all, as you look there, you see the words Achaia. Now, as you see that word there, that is a province in South Greece where Corinth was located. That is where the church in Corinth is located at. So as you see this zeal or enthusiasm that's mentioned in verse 3 of the church, this church in the south caught their giving, their excitement, their zeal for giving caused a church up in the north in a different province in the area to take notice and stirred them up to give as well. Through this, we see that when we give, our giving makes a statement. Our giving makes a statement towards our zeal, our excitement, or towards what we are giving for. So we see that we should be excited givers, and that we should be giving towards the needs of the work that God is doing. So let's take a moment then and reflect on the opportunities that we have to give here in our local body. And I really want to focus on that opportunity that we have next week. Now, previously we had called our year-end thank offering, our time where we got together and gave over and above the needs that we have here at our current church for whatever need it may be, whether it be facilities-wise or a ministry or something like that. Specifically now, as we are changing things a little bit, just want to make a few points about what we're looking at doing. Next week, as we have the opportunity to get together and worship, and as we have our cantata service together, we're going to be taking two separate offerings. The first of which will be what we call our Sacrifice Sunday. That will be a time where we give of our particular sacrifices that the Lord has laid on our heart, or our year-end thank offering. Now, some of you may be saying, well, I'm not going to be able to be here next week. Can I give this week? Absolutely. Some of you may say, well, I'm not going to be here for a few weeks. As long as you can get it within the end of the year, we will be glad to take that and use it towards the needs there. But our thought process is this. We're going to get together, and we're going to trust God and what He's laid on our heart to give, and we're all going to be, the majority of us are going to be doing so at the same time. Now, as we have that opportunity together, and as God blesses us with that opportunity, I want us to think about the opportunities of the things that we have to give towards. As you can find in the information in the commons, half of the money of our goal that we're going to collect goes specifically towards the needs of others, not to the needs here at Delaware Bible Church. Specifically, as you saw on the sheet, the first large batch of money that we're going to be collecting goes towards an ultrasound machine for the Pregnancy Resource Center here in Delaware County. Their current ultrasound machine is about the same age as I am. It is no longer serviceable. There's no longer parts to fix it. And if it goes, it goes. Now, the encouragement that I have for you is as you can prayerfully consider what God has you to give towards this offering and towards this project, think of the good work that we can be doing and think of how our giving and our gifts could stir up other people through our gift that's given towards the Pregnancy Resource Center. Not only that, but after that as well, we have the opportunity to give towards our benevolent fund and towards our various ministries here through the auditorium remodel project. Our giving, our opportunity to give together, can stir others to give by the excitement and enthusiasm that we have to do so. So we see that the gift that these people had, that they were giving towards the church, stirred others up to give enthusiastically. And secondly, we see this, that Christians give carefully and genuinely. Christians give carefully and genuinely. Let's look at verse 3 together within the text. Paul says this, "But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready as I said you would be." We first see that Christians give carefully. As we see this, we see that Paul was sending the brothers to pick up this gift. Paul was not only sending his understudy Titus to pick up the gift, he was also sending two other men with Titus as well. Paul was careful in picking up this gift of sacrifice that the individuals were giving from the local church. He was careful in sending multiple men and making sure that as the gift was picked up in such a way that no one could question how it had been collected. He was very careful with how it had been collected. As such, we see many of the principles on how we give here together. Multiple people count the offering, multiple people collect it, so that there is not a hint of something fishy going on. Not only do we see that they gave carefully, but as well, we saw that they gave genuinely. We see that there within verse 3, where he shares saying that he is sending the brothers so that you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. So we see a couple different things there. That word genuinely there, or the word genuine, as we see genuinely there, that word empty means less than generous, Paul wanted the people to be generous with the gift that they were giving. He wanted it to be a genuine gift. But not only that, Paul had boasted in a certain fashion and in a certain way to these people about the gift that was coming. And this had stirred up the other church. Paul was sharing with them, basically, you got to put your money where your mouth is now. You have to give towards these things, or else it would be an embarrassment on the work that God is trying to accomplish through your gift. Paul wanted the people to give carefully. He wanted to give them to give genuinely. And finally, we see this. Paul wanted the people to give regularly. We see, third of all, that Christians give regularly. Look down at verse 4 together. It says this, "Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction." Paul shares here that our gifts should be willing, not as an exaction, or not out of obligation. Paul did not want to give the people to give because of emotional manipulation or because they felt obligated to give towards this need. Paul wanted the people to give genuinely and regularly, giving thanks to God for the work that he was doing in the hearts and lives of the people. He wanted them to be regular in their gifts, regularly, genuinely giving towards the work that God was doing. He didn't want any type of emotional manipulation or obligation being there, but he wanted them to see that it was truly a blessing for them to be able to give. And that's the next point that we see together. That the gift of giving brings a blessing not only to others as we provide for their needs, but it also brings blessings to ourselves. We see that the gift of giving brings blessings to ourselves. And what we really see is this, that Christians give in two types of ways. You as a believer can give in two different types of ways. What are those types of ways that we can give? Well, first of all, look down at verse 6. We see first that we can give sparingly. Look at verse 6. It shares with us this. The point is this. And as Paul opens up now in this illustration, he uses a farming illustration that would be very applicable to where the people were at. It was very relevant to the situation they were in during this time. He says this, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Verse 7, each one must decide as he has given in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The first way that you can give as a believer is you can give sparingly. You can reluctantly give. You can, as the plate is passed or on Sunday morning, you can feel the obligation that you have to put something in the tray. I have to put something in there because other people are going to see me. I have to put something in there because I'm a Christian. I have to put it in there because this is what I'm supposed to do. There's an obligation and there's a pressure there to your giving. And honestly, if that's the way that you're giving towards the church, you're probably going to give very sparingly. But then there's also a different way of giving. We see this secondly. You can give sparingly or you can give bountifully. We see that at the end of 6 going into 7. The end of 6 shares with us this. It says, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You can either choose to be sparing with your gift, or you can choose to be a bountiful, abundant, generous giver, giving thanks to God for the grace that he has poured in your life and giving your gifts. Now, a few points to remember here. First of all, as we look at this text here, and as we remember where we stand, we understand this, that we are under the new covenant. Right? As Paul is sharing here, he's sharing with people who are under the new covenant, and there is no longer this obligation of the 10% giving system that we saw within the Old Testament. No, Paul's admonition to these people is to give proportionally. We don't have to give of the 10% principle today, but let me encourage you this way. That's a good place to begin your giving. Am I giving of at least 10% of what God has already given me? Again, this is not an obligation that we're under the New Testament law, but it's a good place for us to begin. Not a good place to end, but to begin. From there, am I giving proportionately, abundantly, bountifully towards the work that God is doing? And you can see there as well that God loves a cheerful giver, as it shares within verse 7. Now that word cheerful that is used there within the text is literally where we get the word hilarity or hilarious. Have you ever watched a movie that made you laugh so hard that it felt like it was uncontrollable? You just continued to laugh and you couldn't help yourself. That's the way our giving should be. It should be overflowing, bountiful, into the place where we have to almost stop ourselves and remember the other obligations that we have outside of our giving. We should be Christians who are giving bountifully and completely to the work that God is doing. Our gifts, then, should be regular, but they also should be abundant and sacrificial. In the right way, it should hurt for us to give. It should hurt that we know that we are giving back to God. And as well, along with that, though, we need to be careful with these verses. Because if you were to take verse 6 in and of itself, and if you were to isolate it by itself, then we would be doing the same thing that most popular prosperity gospel preachers do, which is they take verse 6, which says this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully, and we will put a condition on our giving to God that's not there. Basically, we will be saying and sharing with ourselves that we give to God to get more back, which is not what this text is sharing with us. God's intention is that we give bountifully, that we give abundantly, that we give without reservation, so that we can give more back to Him in thanks for all that He has provided to us. He is the factor in our giving, not us. So we don't want to take this verse and think to ourselves, well, if I give God back this much, He's instantly going to give me so much more. Because we see here within the text as well that God's concern is not on the specific amount that we give, but where our heart is at when we give. We see that here within the text. You could be a sparing giver who gives far more monetarily than that of someone here who is an abundant, bountiful giver. You could be. But yet, God would not be pleased in your gift because your heart wasn't in it. But let's return to our friend John for just a moment. Remember, as we left our friend John, he returned to Hong Kong where he received a brown envelope. Inside that envelope, there was another envelope with a letter from his friend and a gift inside that envelope. John read the letter that the friend wrote. The letter shared that out of all of the churches that John preached at, only one gift had come in, and it's in the one letter that was attached there. John opened up the letter, and he found a note from a 12-year-old girl who had been saving up her allowance. And remember, this was in the 1960s. She had only saved up $1. She wrote a note saying that she would like to give this $1 for the purchase of the orphanage there in Hong Kong. And this was the only gift that John had received for the orphanage. Now, at this point, John was absolutely, utterly heartbroken. Yet John prayed about it, and he decided that he was going to go to the caretaker of this building. And as he went to the caretaker of the building, John told him that he would like to pass this offer on to the caretaker to pass on to those who own the building this offering for payment on the property. John handed over the letter with the note from the little girl to the caretaker, and after reading the letter, the caretaker laughed at John, threw the letter away, and told him that there was no way that the owners of the building were going to take this offer and sell the building to him for $1. Now, as we shared earlier, John was a smart and educated man. And after the caretaker shared this response with John, he let him know under no uncertain terms that if he did not pass on this completely legitimate offer for the purchase of this property to the owners of the building, he would take him to court for breach of contract concerning sales of a building in Hong Kong. The caretaker, taken aback at this point, said fine. And a week later, John received a call from the owners of the building. The owners of the building told John that they read the letter from the little girl and that they were so touched that they agreed to sell the building to John for $1. This is a true story. You see, God's focus was not on the amount that was given. God's focus was on the heart of the little girl who gave $1. So what I would like you to do is take some time and consider the gifts that you give here towards our local church. And I want you to ask yourself the question, am I truly giving out of the abundance of my heart, or am I giving so sparingly? As you begin a new year here in just a few weeks, and as you remember that regular morning, Sunday morning offering that we take up, let me first ask you this, are you giving regularly? You may be looking at the back of your bulletin this morning, and you may notice that we're a little bit behind on our budget. Now, this isn't really something that we worry about too much, because at certain times of the year, attendance is down a little bit, and it always seems like we catch up right there at the end. But during those weeks that you miss services here, are you still giving your regular tithe and offering? Are you giving an amount that is both sacrificial, it hurts, but is out of the abundance of your heart? Have you begun the process of praying about what God would have you to give towards other needs? Have you begun praying about what God would have you to give towards our Sacrifice Sunday project next week? Have you begun praying and saying, God, this is what I have. What do you want me to give back to you? Now, let me give you a little bit of perspective here within our church. As I was working on this message, I took our church directory on my phone, and I went through and counted, and it looked like there was about a total of 191 different giving units here within our church. So I took the 191 giving units, and I took the Sacrifice Sunday goal that we had, as well with the other money that we were hoping to collect, to start the project of the auditorium remodel. Now, as I went through these numbers and as I looked at things, if it's true that we have a total of 191 giving units, a church of around 400 people, if every single giving unit within our church would give a total of $351, we would have given over and abundantly above our goals towards getting these projects started, and we would be able to complete all of the projects that the elders have laid out in those documents this summer. Now, as you're hearing that, again, I don't want our focus to be on the goal. I don't want our focus to be on a specific number, but it gives us some perspective. For some of you, giving that $351 would be a great and particular sacrifice towards God's work and towards what He's doing. For others of you, that's going to be far too much. For others of you, you're looking at that and you're saying, that's far too little. I can give much more out of the abundance of my heart towards what God is doing here. Don't worry specifically about the goal, but focus on what God has laid on your heart to give. Because giving out of obligation robs ourselves of the blessing of giving. We see secondly then this, that Christians are gifted in two types of ways. We can give two different types of ways, but yet we're also gifted in two types of ways. Let's look at verses 8 and 9 together. Verse 8 says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, as it is written," and here comes a quote from the book of Psalms, "He has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." We see two different ways that God gifts us. First of all, he gifts us before our giving. Look there in verse 8 where it says, "God is able to make all grace abound to you." Now, in the specific context, as we see the word grace there, it's sharing with us material provision. God is able and God allows all material provision that you have. He provides it all to you. Now, why does he do that? "So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." God gives you all that you need to perform all of the good works at all the times he asks you to do so. He blesses you and gifts you before your giving, but not just before your giving, but also after our giving. Let's look at verse 10. It says this, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." After you give, God continues to multiply your seed. He continues to bless you after you give as you bring praise, thanksgiving, honor, and glory to him for the gifts that he is allowing you to give. Ultimately, our giving is all about God. And as we see that, we finally see this, that the gift of giving brings glory to God. We bring glory to God by giving back to him. We see first that Christians show thanks by giving. We show thanks to God through our giving. We see that in verse 12 where Paul shares this with us, "For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." So not only are we providing for the needs of others, but we're also thanking God for his provision for his gifts for us. Not only do we thank God by sharing our gifts, we also portray the gospel by giving. Look at verse 13. It says this, "By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." Let's stop there for a moment. As we now find ourselves in the middle of this Advent season, as we are thinking specifically of the gift of Christ, of how he came to earth here as he was born, and how he eventually, after living a perfect life, after dying a death he didn't deserve, and paying the price for our sins, we see the gospel, the self-sacrifice that God has shown with us, and we, through our giving, thank him and portray these gifts back to him, thanking him for what he has done for us. We have the opportunity to portray the truth that we know and affirm that has changed our lives through the gospel, through our giving. Praise the Lord and thank him for his inexpressible gift to us. So as we wrap things up together, let's remember a few points together. First of all, as we think of this Christmas season, let me remind you to remember God's inexpressible gift this Christmas season. God's gift is the reason why we celebrate this season. As Pastor Scott shared with us last week, it is wonderful to celebrate the birth of Christ, but ultimately we celebrate not only his birth, but what he has done for us through the gospel. That's why we celebrate this season. Not only that he was born, but the work that he accomplished on our behalf that we did not deserve. Secondly, let me ask you this. Do you give towards God's work sparingly or bountifully? If the answer is sparingly, what needs to change in your heart and life so that you will give bountifully to God? Remember, God, giving to God bountifully has to do completely with your heart. It doesn't have to do specifically with the amount that you give. It has to do with your heart. Third, as we prayerfully consider what God would have you to give next week above and beyond your normal offering for Sacrifice Sunday, pray and ask God, God, what is it that you would have me to give? There's a goal here. There are certain steps that I can reach. But what is it that you really want me to give towards what it is that you have laid on the hearts of our leadership and where our money ought to be going towards? God, what is it that you want me to give? Fourth and finally, let me encourage you to do this. Begin prayerfully considering what God would have you to give next year to the church through your regular offering. Begin thinking now what God would have you to give, not out of obligation, not out of emotional manipulation, but what does he want me to give in my regular offering? As we conclude together this morning, let's go back to our friend John. John Bechtel used the $1 given from that girl to purchase the orphanage. 25 years later, John was preaching in North America, and he told this story. Afterwards, a woman in her 30s came up to John and shared that she was the girl who gave John $1. John ran back out to the parking lot to grab as many of the people that he could that were leaving, and he brought them back into the auditorium where he shared with them that this was the woman who had given that gift that he used in the illustration for his sermon. She was right there standing in front of him. That $1, that small gift given by the little girl, was everything that she had. And God had used that $1 to open up an orphanage where, since its inception in 1971, over 1.5 million people have experienced the evangelistic program offered by the orphanage, and over 130,000 people have indicated a decision to accept and follow Jesus Christ as a result. All because a little girl gave from her heart and gave $1. What would God lay on your heart to give towards his work? Let's pray together. God, we are so grateful for this Christmas season that we celebrate the inexpressible gift of your Son. As we remember that gift, God, prompt our hearts, help us to inwardly remember what it is that you would have us to give. Help us to give generously, abundantly, because of the grace, because of the favor that you have lavished on our lives. Thanks be to you for this inexpressible gift that we celebrate this season. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.